You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And thank you for joining us 9 o'clock in the morning on this brisk Monday morning in Chicago. Very important feast day in the life of the Church, Our Lady of Guadalupe. The patroness of the Americas, Pope John Paul II, designated her not just the patroness of Mexico, not just the patroness of the Hispanic countries. She's the patroness of the Americas, North and South. She is our mother. She is our lady. She is our protector and friend. So we rejoice in this great feast of the Church. We rejoice in the love that God has for us by giving us a mother to watch over us. Very happy this morning. By the way, this is Graziano Marcheschi flying solo this morning. Father Greg Sakowicz could use some prayers. He's got some eye issues going on, and I told him I would pray. I didn't tell him I'd ask you to pray, but I'm sure he'd be very grateful. So please send some prayers his way that the eye problems he's experiencing will be very, very quickly resolved. We are talking about Catholic schools today. We have over 300 wonderful schools within this archdiocese. One of the great gifts, one of the great treasures of the diocese. An important asset because it's the primary way that the faith continues to be passed on. During our first segment, we're going to be talking about our Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe with Allie McCall, who's the assistant principal at St. Agnes of Bohemia School, and an eighth grader from the same school, Melissa Avila. She is been doing a dramatization about Our Lady of Guadalupe since she was in kindergarten. And she's here to help tell the story of Our Lady. I'm looking at them, and they're both so youthful. It's hard to tell who's the assistant principal and who's the student. But it's wonderful to have you both here. Welcome, Allie. Welcome, Melissa.
Welcome. Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure. Thank you. So Our Lady of Guadalupe is an important part of St. Agnes of Bohemia School. Mm-hmm. Tell us why.
So first, the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe starts off with Juan Diego, and he encounters Mary on the hill of Tepeyac, and she asks him to build the church on that very hill. So he runs off to the bishop and says, "Well, I saw a virgin. I think it is really her, and we want to build the church." And the archbishop says, "Give me proof so we could build the church." So then he goes back to the hill, and Mary encounters him again, and she says, "Just take the roses from behind you," and she miraculously makes a rose bush, and he takes the rose and puts it in his poncho.
Now, wait a minute. Why would this have been a miraculous thing? What time of year was it?
Time of year? It was winter.
It was winter, so roses would not normally be blooming at this time, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So then he took it in his poncho, went back to the bishop, and when he unfolded the poncho, it wasn't just only a rose, but it was an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
That wonderful image that we've all come to know so well.
Mm-hmm. And I would also like to mention that on December 9th was when she showed up to him, and today is when he unfolded the poncho and she appeared to him.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So why has Our Lady, St. Agnes of Bohemia, taken this story so much to heart that you do this skit that dramatizes the story of Juan Diego and of Our Lady every year?
It's a very important part of the Latino and Hispanic community and culture. It's a really special feast that they value.
Her what?
The way that she just was so, to Juan Diego, the way that she portrayed how she kept continually asking him to do it.
Yeah, and she appeared as an indigenous woman, didn't she?
Right, mm-hmm. she did.
She didn't appear as a European-looking woman. She didn't appear even as a Jewish-looking woman. She appeared as one of the native people of Mexico at the time.
Right.
With dark skin, and that was very powerful for the people there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the amazing things, one of the truly miraculous aspects of this story isn't just that this image appeared on his, what do you call that?
Poncho.
His poncho, thank you. Mm-hmm. That appeared on his poncho. And by the way, it is truly a miraculous image because it's been studied scientifically and there's no traces of paint or anything else. They have no idea how it is that this image is upon this cloth. Mm-hmm. And it's not even really a cloth. It's made out of natural materials, you know, like mm-hmm. woven together that should have deteriorated hundreds of years ago, and it's still in this wonderful condition.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, what's really amazing is that millions and millions and millions of the native people came over to Christianity as a result of this apparition within a matter of a year or two.
Mm-hmm. I think that was because Mary showed up to Juan Diego as an equal to him and not as a queen or really royal, more to be equal and say, come and join me. I'm not harmful. I'm only just a person.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he had a sense that she was very special
mm-hmm.
and greater than he, but she came, like you say, not like a queen, but like a simple peasant woman
mm-hmm.
Saying, I'm one of you. I'm one of you, and you can belong to my son just like anyone else can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a powerful story. Well, tell us about the dramatization that you do. How do you put it together? What's it like?
Well, put it together, we have a skit every year at mm-hmm. our church by eighth grade students every year. And unfortunately, I wasn't part of it, but I know they did a wonderful job. They reenact the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and they just...
How many kids are in the skit?
How many kids? I think
there are about 8 kids uh-huh. that are in the skit.
And you do it just for the other students, or do you invite the parents to come in?
Well, it's in the church, so I think everyone is there. Some people from the community, the parents, seniors, other children.
Yeah.
It's part of the homily. So mm-hmm. after the readings, then it's the eighth graders get up and do this skit for
yeah,
part of the homily.
That's great. Well, and the great thing is that it's the eighth graders doing it. That's mm-hmm. a wonderful example to the younger kids, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What have you learned personally? I'd like to hear from both of you from watching this skit year after year. What have you learned about Our Lady? How has it touched you? Has it helped your faith in any way? Talk about that a little bit.
I've learned that, before I came to St. Agnes, you know, I didn't know too much about Our Lady of Guadalupe, so I learned how important it is to their culture. And just the story is just so unbelievable that he continued to go back to the bishop and go back to the bishop. And he believed in her, even though, you know, it was kind of a vision. And then he still kept going back, even though a lot of people, if the bishop said no, a lot of people would have just given up mm-hmm. and not continued to. Mm-hmm. So just that perseverance that he had.
Yeah. How about you, Melissa?
Well, to me, even though our school is 98% Hispanic, it really touches the heart of the children because it is their culture. And they've learned this since... I can't remember how long I've known this story. And it just shows that we're all equal. Mary is really a symbol of peace and love. So then that really touches me as well.
Beautifully said. Well, we need to take a break, and we're going to continue our conversation about Our Lady of Guadalupe on this, her feast day. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these brief messages.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, the radio voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. We're delighted that you've chosen to spend this part of your morning with us. Graziano Marcheschi, thanking you for tuning in. And we're talking today about the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Today is the feast day. We're speaking with Allie McCall, the Assistant Principal of St. Agnes of Bohemia School, and Melissa Avila, an eighth grader from the same school, which is located 2643 South Central Park in Chicago's Little Village neighborhood. So we just talked about this wonderful skit that your eighth grade students perform every year as part of a liturgy. Now, you did it on this past Friday, which was the 9th, which was the day of the actual apparition, you told us.
Yeah.
All right. Today was the day that Juan Diego stood before the bishop and unfolded his poncho, thinking he was just going to reveal some roses that the Blessed Lady told him to bring to the bishop. Instead, in addition to the roses, there was also an image of her that miraculously had appeared on his poncho. You invited some special guests to come to this liturgy. Tell us about who you invited and why.
We invited some seniors from the community, from the parish, from the school to attend our Lady of Guadalupe Mass.
By seniors, you mean senior citizens.
Senior citizens, right. Yes. And so it was we were opening up our school doors to our community, the elders in our community, for the Mass. And then after that, we had a brunch for them and a Christmas dough. So Melissa can talk a little bit more about.
And some of the seniors were related to the kids, right?
Yes. Yeah.
They were their what?
They were their grandparents.
Their grandparents.
Yes.
That's a nice tradition, inviting grandparents to a feast like that.
It is.
So tell us about the brunch you prepared for them.
So I took part in the senior brunch.
Uh-huh.
And the eighth grade students were either doing raffles, greeting people at the door, or they were serving breakfast, juice, any food. And it's nice to see grandparents there. I know some eighth grade students had their grandparents there. They were happy that they were there.
How do you say grandfather and grandmother in Spanish?
Abuela y abuelo.
Abuela y abuelo?
Mm-hmm.
Gracias.
Thank you. Okay. So, yeah. And
we had about 130 grandparents come to our brunch.
Impressive.
Yes. It was a collaborative school event, although the eighth graders were the ones who are serving. The other classrooms made things for the seniors, so every grade was in charge of either making placemats, making napkin holders, making little goodie bags, The 7th and 8th graders were in charge of decorating the whole cafeteria, so it basically was transformed into a winter wonderland. There was Christmas music playing in the background. And
sounds like a great event. How long ahead of time did all the other grades begin to do this preparation of making the placemats, et cetera?
We were probably preparing for about 2 weeks before, 2-3 weeks before.
Yeah, that's great. I love the focus of doing something for someone else.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just thinking about we're getting close to Christmas, I'm going to get things, but we're getting close to Christmas, it's time for me to think of other people.
Right.
That's a beautiful concept, yeah.
And we just wanted to thank our grandparents because, well, they're one of the only things that we can relate to our heritage and our culture. So that's why that was a way to thank them for having them there.
Now, were you born here, Melissa? Or
yes.
You were. Okay, great. So did you do also some kind of a Christmas program?
We did, yes. So after the senior brunch, the seniors were welcome to come join us in the gym for our Christmas show that we had two performances of. One was on Thursday night for all the families and parents, and then Friday was for the seniors in our community.
Tell us about the Christmas show.
So the first act was 7th and 8th grade. It's always two grades together. And then we just sang a lullaby. Then the next act was first.
What kind of lullaby?
Like a Christmas lullaby. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a lovely Christmas lullaby. Mm-hmm. Singing to Jesus kind of thing?
Yeah.
Great.
It's always based on Jesus.
And yeah.
So the next act was first and second grade. And
they sang Away in the Manger.
Away in the Manger, yeah. And then the next act was 5th and 6th grade. And
they sang Go Tell It on the Mountain.
So this is a musical program.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Singing Christmas songs for the guests at the brunch.
And yes. While that's going on, the song relates to the nativity scene. So then their students are acting as well. Well, children are singing.
So. Oh, so you're doing a live nativity scene.
We are, yes.
Well, that's interesting. So what did you have? Joseph and Mary, of course. Mm-hmm. Did you have a baby Jesus?
We did. We had a live baby Jesus.
A live baby Jesus.
We did.
All right.
We did. He was 3 months old.
And you had the Magi?
Yes.
The three wise men?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you had shepherds?
We did.
Did you have sheep?
We had a lot of sheep, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Who played the sheep?
I think children,
Many preschoolers.
Yeah. Preschoolers. Wow. Yes. Did they have sheep costumes?
They did. Really? Everyone, yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. It's a pretty big production.
Yeah.
Between all the readers and everyone singing and the nativity scene.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a school, obviously, that takes its faith very seriously, and expresses it in multiple ways, including the use of the arts, the creative performing arts. That's wonderful. Why don't you give us, if somebody were interested in St. Agnes of Bohemia School, how could they get a hold of you? Where could they find a website to learn more?
Yes, our school phone number is 773-522-0143.
Let's do that again, nice and slow.
Yep, 773-522-0143.
Very good. And your website?
And our website is school.stagnesofbohemia.org.
School.stagnesofbohemia, all one word, .org.
Correct.
Okay, you didn't want to make that real easy for people, right? stagnesofbohemia.org. Okay, you're an eighth grader, Melissa.
Yeah.
You've gone to the school since kindergarten?
Mm-hmm.
What do you like best about this school?
How we're just united as a community, and we always, the older children depend on the younger children, the younger children depend on the older children. We're always just together as a community. Even though we live in a neighborhood that is Mexican, Hispanic community, we also relate to it because it's also our home. St. Agnes, I consider it my second home. So,
amen. That's wonderful. Couldn't give it a much better endorsement than that. I think that's part of the genius of K through 8 schools is you've got the big age range, but they are all one. And the older kids do look out for the younger ones, and that's a great part of the education. Well, we want to thank you both. Thank Melissa Avila, the eighth grader student from St. Agnes, and Miss Allie McCall, assistant principal. God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas, and give our best to all the folks back home. You're listening to Catholic Communion Faith. We'll be back with much more good news about the Catholic schools after these brief messages. Don't go away.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Help unwrap the holiday spirit this season with Catholic Charities' annual Celebration of Giving. Catholic Charities invites you to help children and their families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit. Sponsor a family, donate a toy, or volunteer with us during the season. For more details, visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration or call our hotline at 312-226-0650. That's 312-226-0650.
Yes, you have been listening to A Chorus of Angels, and they've been singing just for you. These are students from St. Philip Neri School. Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, pleased to be speaking with Miss Linda Sanders, who is the principal of St. Philip of Neri School, and Miss Toni Bell Elliott, the choir director, and the person who conducted those wonderful children who just sang the song that you heard. Welcome, Linda. Welcome, Toni.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Glad to be here.
So that was very impressive. Little children. What was the age of the kids that we just heard?
From fourth grade through eighth grade.
Fourth grade. Singing in Latin.
Yes, they were. Jubilate Deo.
All right. That was marvelous. Let's hear first about the two of you. Linda, how long have you been principal at St. Philip's?
This is going into my second year.
Uh-huh. And?
And prior to that, I was a research assistant at the University of Illinois in early childhood development.
So you're a first-time principal.
This is not my first-time principal. I was an interim principal with Chicago Public Schools.
I see.
Prior.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, great to have you in the Catholic school system.
I'm just delighted to be a part of the Catholic school system. That's a part of my life and my son's life. He attended Infant Jesus of Prague and Flossmoor.
In Flossmoor, yeah.
Yes, and then from there, Loyola Academy.
Oh, really?
And St. Ignatius. He is an alumni at St. Ignatius.
Ah, so he started at Loyola?
He started at Loyola. That was for his college education.
Oh, Loyola University.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then he went to Ignatius. My daughter went to Ignatius, so mm-hmm. I know how wonderful the school that is.
Yes.
Tony, tell us about your history with the school.
Well, I just started with St. Philip Neri in August.
Uh-huh.
And in addition to choir director, I'm also the music teacher. So I'm there once a week for their specials, general music. And then the choir is an after-school program.
I see. Oh, really? After-school?
Yes, it's an after-school program.
So that's a big commitment.
Yes.
Had anyone ever sung in Latin before you got there?
Not many. Not many. But some of the students have, especially being in the Catholic schools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So as an after-school program, it requires extra time, requires extra commitment. It means the parents also have to come later to pick up the children,
absolutely,
you know, et cetera. How much time do they give to this after-school program? Do you rehearse once a week? How often?
We rehearse actually twice a week. I have two ensembles out of the school. We rehearse Wednesdays and Thursdays. On Wednesdays, I have a mixed beginning, so that's, you know, from the fourth through the eighth graders. And then I have an elite ensemble where we extend our rehearsals on Thursdays. And those are the students that are able to hold parts and a little bit more disciplined.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Linda, why do you think it's important to have an after-school program like this? What values are provided for the children by this?
Well, it extends their learning after, you know, throughout the day. It helps them also to connect their math and social studies through music. So it's another fun way for students to learn, but it's another way to integrate music into the curriculum.
See, that's why I was never good at music, because I don't do math. If you don't do math, you can't do music.
Well, you know, our students, they do have their music once a week, but having it after school really kind of gives those other students a greater opportunity and more exposure to music in a deeper way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just a personal side note, I've recognized the value of music. My son, who I thought was the most unmusical kid in the world, discovered singing when he was at Loyola Academy, and now it's his whole life. He's in college. He's a member of a acapella group called Indiana University Straight No Chaser. We were just there this past weekend for their Christmas concert. It was stunning. Of course, that's a purely objective opinion from his dad. What I found from it, I mean, it takes a huge amount of his time that I wish he was spending on his studies, but I see how it's transforming him. It's just truly transforming him. And I'm sure that what you're doing with your kids is doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
So, Tony, you teach during the day.
Yes.
Music, as well as then conducting these choirs after school.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the life of a music teacher. Are you teaching K through 8?
I am teaching pre-K through 8. So with the preschoolers, actually preschool through second grade, we learn, or I teach them more rhythm, how to speak in rhythm. There's also a performance element with them. They need to know how to stand in position, be unison and conformed in standing up, sitting down at the same time. They also learn songs for family mass. Every third Sunday, we go to family mass.
Uh-huh.
So a part of the classroom teaching is they're introduced to different genres of music and then prominent artists within those genres. And they have to do a little report randomly on these artists. And then part of the classroom time is spent with learning the songs.
Yeah. I understand the kids are going to be performing in a couple of public spaces.
Yes.
We're going to hear about that in just a moment. After these brief messages, don't go away. We're going to be right back and continue our conversation about the good news of our Chicago Archdiocesan Catholic schools. Don't go away.
Gaudeamus, 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 Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Dona Nobis Pacem, the angelic voices of the children of St. Philip Neri School singing to God, give us peace. Dona Nobis Pacem, we went out with another song, Gaudeamus Hodie, let us rejoice today. So we're delighted to be speaking with their music director, Tony Bell Elliott, and their principal, Linda Sanders. Linda, you were telling us about the impact of this music work on the kids. Why don't you elaborate for our listeners a little bit?
The impact has been so great. Our students, of course, work hard academically, but by having the opportunity to be in choir and have music, we as teachers and principals have high expectations for them, but they have higher expectations or are able to make those connections through music. They have this opportunity also to see how hard the work is to be a perfectionist. And I've seen, and often in many opportunities, I've had to see them push themselves past levels that I expected. Their confidence level has risen, and their ability to present themselves in a form bashful.
Yeah. So when they were here recording that music that we've been listening to, did they just want to get it done and get out of here?
No, actually, they came in. We rehearsed a little bit so we can get a little sound check. We recorded, and they had an opportunity to listen to what they had just done. And it was cute because I asked, were they satisfied with that recording? And sometimes they were, and sometimes they weren't and wanted to re-record what they did. So
that's great.
Yeah, they were excited about the opportunity.
They took a lot
experience.
Of pride. And they understand the quality of the art.
Absolutely.
And that the art makes demands on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to step up and give their best performance.
Yes, and they definitely did that day.
They did.
And they realized, as I said, how much hard work and effort goes into giving your best. At the end of the performance, they all said, oh, I'm so tired. So, because that we started early in the morning, and they kept saying, okay, this isn't our best. We want to do it over. And so we were here until the afternoon. But they were very proud of their work and having that opportunity to come down.
You know, you can't replace that. Working hard, having to be so focused, that's why they were tired. It takes a lot of focus and concentration.
Yes.
But not being willing to compromise that value, that doing your best, that's going to translate to the rest of life for them.
Oh, absolutely.
What a gift you're giving them. So tell us about these two performances you've got coming up.
Okay, good. We are going to have an opportunity to perform at the Museum of Science and Industry near the Christmas Around the World exhibit.
Excellent.
They have a performance stage, and so it's a school-wide trip. However, the school, the children that are not in the choir will be in the audience, and those that are in the choral program will actually perform some of the songs that we've been learning. And that same day in the evening, I'm going to take the Elite Ensemble. We're going to perform at Millennium Park for Big Shoulders.
Oh, so
just some caroling outdoors.
No, we will be at the inside the train station.
Okay. Ah.
The Metro train station at Millennium Park train station. So it's okay. Underground there at Randolph in Michigan.
So you'll be serenading the commuters?
Exactly.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That'll be a treat for everybody.
They're excited about that.
What a cool thing. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about the school right now. If people were interested in learning more about St. Philip Neri, how could they get a hold of you and where would they go to find a website?
Okay. They could call our school at 773-288-1138.
Let's do that again.
773-288-1138. We are celebrating, next year we will be celebrating our centennial anniversary. So this is a very exciting time for St. Philip Neri School. And we, our enrollment has grown within the last year. Originally, when I came, it was 80. We are now up to 117.
Excellent.
And so we're forging ahead. And our focus is math, science, and technology. And we're an inquiry-based learning environment. So our children have a strong opportunity to use 21st century skills in their learning. There's a lot of collaboration. So students work in teams. And they also are required to do their individual yeah. work also.
What a great commitment on the part of the Archdiocese to serve all our communities. What a great commitment for the community itself to make the sacrifices that I'm sure it takes to sustain a school, and of the parents, the individual parents who are willing to pay that tuition, which I'm sure is not an easy thing. Do you have a website?
We do have a website. The website address is www.spnchicago.org.
SPNChicago.org. Well, I've always felt I had a connection with St. Philip Neri because when I was a little kid, immigrant kid, having just come over from Italy, my pastor was Monsignor Moran. And when he finished his term at my parish, St. Bonaventure, he went to become the pastor of St. Philip Neri.
One of our alumni, this was last year, had the original chalice that was given by the students to Monsignor Moran.
Really?
And so he gave that last Christmas to the school, and that is now in our, we have a area where we have
display.
Things, yeah, our display case.
Praise God.
Yeah, so yeah. It's, that was so wonderful. And every Christmas holiday, so many alumni come down and celebrate Christmas.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Linda Sanders, principal, and Tony Bell Elliott, choir director of St. Philip Neri School. Please continue the great work that you're doing and keep serving this wonderful community.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful Merry Christmas.
And you
Thank
too.
You.
All right, we're going to come back after these brief messages with our final segment talking about Catholic high school placement tests and tell you about a couple of other wonderful schools. We're going to go out listening to these great kids from St. Philip Neri one more time.
And you make me strong. You always give. Love to me, and in your love I will find all I need.
You are my strength.
You are my strength.
You are my song.
You are my song.
When I am weak,
you are my rock,
and you make me strong.
You make me strong.
You always give.
You always give.
Your love.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back. It's 9:40, almost 3 in the morning. It's this brisk Monday. We're celebrating the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and we're also talking about the good news of the Catholic schools within the Archdiocese. We've talked about St. Philip Neri and their children's choir. We've talked about Our Lady of Guadalupe and their special celebration of today's feast. And now we're going to talk to representatives from two different schools, two very different schools. St. Patrick High School on Chicago's northwest side, and almost directly across the street, Notre Dame High School for Girls. Representing Notre Dame High School is Amanda Moore, who's the admissions director, and representing St. Patrick's is Bob McMillan, also the admissions director. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Catholic schools. I spent the first 10 years of my church career ministry in Catholic schools. I was down the street from both of you, Gordon Tech and at Madonna. So I have a great love for the Catholic schools. Why are you guys there?
Well, I attended Catholic school my whole life. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and went to an all-girls high school myself. So I am a certified teacher, and when this position as admissions director came up, it seemed like a great opportunity. I'm such a firm believer in Catholic schools, especially Catholic schools in urban environments. So it's great. I think it's great work that we're doing there.
All right. What about you, Bob?
I was working in the corporate America, and I really got kind of burned out, and I saw an opportunity with St. Pat's. They actually started a new position, and it really kind of struck me because, like Amanda, I also went to a private school, a Catholic school, growing up, and it's just really
was that here in Chicago?
Sense. Yeah, I went to St. Rita on the south side.
Oh, sure, great school. Now inhabiting our former high school seminary.
Correct, yeah, 79th and Western.
Yeah, excellent. So what keeps you there? That's what brought you there. What keeps you in a Catholic school? You could be making a lot more money back in corporate America or even in a public school. Why do you stay at these Catholic schools?
You know, I actually just started at Notre Dame in July, so I'm relatively new to Notre Dame. But before that, I taught, you know, at Catholic schools in Cleveland and things like that. And I think just the students.
You look so darn young. You look like you just got out of a Catholic high school.
No, I graduated Catholic high school in 2004, so I still am relatively young to the profession. But there's something about being in a Catholic school environment that you almost can't describe. It really is like being part of a family. And I know that's how we are at Notre Dame. We're just a large family. And I don't think you necessarily have that same feeling at the public schools.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, there's definitely being from what I came from, it's a it's kind of a hamster wheel type of thing where you just keep going, you keep going. But you see the kids that walk by your office every day, the kids that you see on the field, you see performing, you see just succeeding. And then you hear after they leave how successful they are and how the experience they've had at the Catholic high school, how much it's influenced their life. That's really more than money can ever buy.
Yeah. So you folks are both admissions directors. What does that mean?
Well, we work very hard every day, but more specifically for the months kind of before the January test date. We really have shadows. We have open houses. We try new and different things every year. Especially at our school to get the good word out about our school and let kids know and get specifically all boys, because that's what we are, what things we have and what different kind of differentiates us from other schools around the area.
You mentioned you have shadows. I think some of our listeners may not know what you're referring to there.
Shadow Day is a day where the students can come in and see what a typical day in the high school is like. So the open houses are more for the families to get to see the facilities, get to meet a few teachers. But the shadows actually go around with hosts, and they're in the classroom, they're eating lunch, they're in the different performing arts classes.
So they shadow another student.
Literally, yes.
And follow him or her through their schedule for the day.
Correct. Yeah.
Tell us about your work as admissions director, Amanda.
Well, we have a lot of the same things that St. Pat's has, as far as we have shadow days, we have open house days. We really just want to make sure that 8th grade students can be familiar and comfortable before they decide to test with us or test at a Catholic school. So we try to provide as many opportunities for them to just come in and see what Notre Dame is all about.
Now, Notre Dame has a unique story. Why don't you fill us in a little bit about where it came from and where it is today?
Okay, well, about 3 years ago, we did move buildings. We were about three blocks to the east, and it was a very large building. And about 3 years ago, we decided to kind of move buildings. So now we share a campus with St. Ferdinand School, and we are a parish school of St. Ferdinand now. So we have kind of a unique situation where we have two schools on one campus.
Yeah, excellent. And St. Patrick's has been around for a long time. It's one of the schools that's just remained strong despite, you know, sometimes the trends of diminishing numbers within Catholic schools. I know you're relatively new there. You're a young guy, so you couldn't have been there too long. But tell us a little bit about how St. Patrick's has remained as strong as it is.
Well, to your point, we moved in the 50s from Des Plaines and Adams, which is where Old St. Pat's Church is, to the corner of Belmont and Austin. We've been there since the mid-50s. We've remained strong because we really are a reflection of our neighborhood. The neighborhood has changed, obviously, in the past 40, 50 years, and we've really adapted. We've made curriculum changes. We made facility changes to really reflect what the Christian Brothers feels is important to students and families.
You know, I was visiting Notre Dame School a year or more ago, and I looked down the street, and I saw something at St. Patrick's I'd never seen before, this whole brand new theater, this enormous wing. Tell us about the additions that you made for the Millennium.
It was our Vision 2000 project. We added a theater, a 300-seat theater. We added two art studios. We also added a band room. The atrium area, which used to be the brothers' residence as well as a courtyard kind of in between the classrooms and the brothers' residence, was all knocked down. We kind of domed in the area that was the courtyard and is now a large atrium area.
Sounds amazing. I love that kind of stuff. I think I should have been a builder, and in my next life, maybe I'll come back as that. We need to take a quick break. We're going to come back, learn more about these fine schools, and particularly about admissions testing coming up for all the schools in January. Don't go away. We'll be back very shortly.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk to Cardinal George about holiday trees and Christmas trees. We'll take you to a toy parade where Chicago firefighters and paramedics brought hundreds of bicycles to Catholic Charities. And we'll show you why many people think Father Augustus Tolton, the first American diocesan priest of African descent, should be canonized.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to the radio voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago, Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, grateful that you've chosen to spend this part of your morning with us. You know, we wouldn't be on the air if you weren't out there listening, and so we appreciate your support. We want to tell you that the Department of Stewardship and Development of the Archdiocese is considering a campaign to address specific education priorities of all of our Catholic schools, our religious education programs, and Mundelein Seminary. So our stewardship and development team is looking for your input to help guide this effort. We ask you to go to the Archdiocesan website, which is www.archchicago.org, and you'll find a link to a survey. It's real big. It's right at the very top. It's bright red. It won't take you long to fill it out. It's anonymous, and your opinion will be very important and valued in helping make decisions and directions for this project. Again, our website, www.archchicago.org. The link to the survey prominently displayed. Thank you for taking time to offer your opinion and to help guide our decisions on a proposed campaign for Catholic education. Speaking of Catholic education, we are talking to the admissions directors from two of our fine Catholic high schools, Amanda Moore, who's from Notre Dame High School for Girls, Bob McMillan, admissions director from St. Patrick High School in Chicago also. The test coming up. Tell us some of the specifics. When does it happen? Where do kids go? Are they committed to going to the school where they take the test, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, all of the Catholic high schools in the Chicago Archdiocese give the placement exam on Saturday, January 14th at 8 a.m. So we always tell students, 8th grade prospective students, that they need to test at the high schools that they wish to go to the most. So whatever their top choice high school is, that's where they should be going to test. And then as far as if you're committed, it just really depends on the high school. Some high schools will allow you to transfer your scores in if you've, you know, tested somewhere else, and some won't. So really, that's a question for each individual high school.
Do you know that I still remember my eighth grade teacher giving us directions about how to go to the schools to take the high school placement test? That was a lot of years. I won't tell you how many. It's a lot of years ago. Bob, tell us about, give us a little more info. If a student takes the test at St. Patrick's, does that mean he goes to St. Patrick's?
Most of the time, yes. But with the with a lot of the students, Amanda mentioned about the test at the school you want to go to. That's the same philosophy we have. The majority of kids that test our school end up at our school in August. There are schools, because of the way the financial situation runs with some families, the families, as much as we try to help them, and we help the most of the families, but there are just some families that we just can't help out. And then also with students that test for selective enrollment for Chicago Public Schools, those students, a kid that gets into Northside Prep or a kid that gets into Whitney Young, a kid that tested at our school or at Notre Dame may end up not going there for another reason or family moves, but the majority of kids end up at our school.
Yeah. So what kinds of things are these tests testing for? What's the purpose of the admissions test?
Well, as far as we use the test really to determine what classes the student should be placed in at Notre Dame, for instance, are they going to be placed in AP classes, honors classes, a regular track of classes? So the tests consist of math, reading, English, things like that. They're similar to standardized tests that are given throughout a student's life in grade school.
Yeah.
We give the Explore exam. It's part of the three different tests of the plan, and then ultimately the ACT for juniors that are looking to get into college. Again, it's a placement exam. It is not an entrance exam. There are schools that you have to test at a certain number or a certain level to get into that school, very similar to Notre Dame for Girls, whereas we'll look at the test, we'll look at the grades from grammar school as well as other standardized tests from grammar school to place that student in whatever classes that are most appropriate for them.
So for most schools, it's not going to exclude anyone. It's just going to give the school information about the student and help them to do the best job they can to put the child in the classes that will be most beneficial to them.
Correct.
Boy, see, I was a former Catholic high school person. I know what I'm talking about here. All right, you're the admissions directors. Give us a pitch. Tell us why a parent whose child is in eighth grade ought to be considering a Catholic school.
You
got 1 minute.
I think that the high level of academics that a Catholic education gives is a great selling point for a Catholic school. Also, you don't just have the academics, you also have the faith aspect. Like most Catholic high schools, Notre Dame is open to all different sort of faiths, but we really do like to have students with great moral character, and that's something that we really teach at our high school. So I would also say that the Catholic high schools in Chicago have great graduation rates. They have great college acceptance rates. So they really are instrumental in many student success.
All right. St. Patrick High School just recently celebrated its 150th anniversary in Chicago. We are one of the oldest all-boys schools in the area. And again, we've been all male for all 151 years. I think the best part about St. Pat's is that you'll talk to different students and not – one student is exactly the same. You'll have families that come from the suburbs, students that live in the city, students that have such amazing stories. And I think that it really is a reflection of what Chicago is like. You have every single type of family, student from every, you know, wealthy families, poor families, suburban families. And that really, it really makes up a lot of wonderful things about
the school.
All
right, quick phone number from each of you. St. Pat's phone number.
Area code 773-282-8844.
282-8844.
Correct.
And
773-622-1541.
Well, we want to thank you both, Amanda Moore and Bob McMillan, for the wonderful work that you do. We're going to go out listening to the children from St. Philip Neri singing Jesus Put This Song in My Heart. Thanks to producer Jasmine Quiros, engineer Michael May. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. Have a wonderful week.
Jesus put this song in my heart, a joyful melody that sings of his wonderful love. He gave me his love.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
Jesus put this song in my heart. He turned my life around. He gave me a treasure, the heart of a servant. Jesus put this song in my heart, a joyful melody that sings of his wonderful love. He gave me his love, he sang me his song, and he put this song.